Thank you, Joanna. So you've now been here for 45 minutes, and you've heard about the relationship between country ownership and capacity building, the challenges of measuring capacity building, and how our team began to develop a methodology to address these challenges, and then how our tool compared to those already available. This has led us to where we are now in our work today in Ethiopia. I'd first like to go through our research objectives and then briefly describe the organizations we're working with and the results from the first two of three rounds of data collection using the MODE tool. And then lastly, how the results generated by the MODE assessment are being used or will be used by the civil society organizations, INGOs, and the donors. So we had four research objectives for our work. The first two can be addressed with rounds one and two in our study. The first objective is to assess the capacity and the level of development of CSOs in Ethiopia. The second is to estimate the capacity and the level of development, assess the changes in the capacity and the level of development of CSOs. And with two rounds of data collection complete, I'll be able to present our results thus far today, which begin to address these first two research aims. However, there are two other key objectives. The first is to map organizational capacity and level of development onto organizational performance and the ability of an organization to produce child outcomes. The second is to develop a predictive model to enable potential donors to rapidly assess organizations and maximize their chance to produce a social return on their investment. Our study in Ethiopia provides the first opportunity to our knowledge to correlate child outcomes to organizational development. A concurrent nationwide survey is being conducted in parallel to our organizational development study. We therefore have partnered with organizations which are providing services to those children included in the household survey. This will allow us to correlate an organization's level of development to their performance and ultimately how well they're able to improve the outcomes of the vulnerable children they serve. When designing the study, we took into account the key considerations or challenges that Amia has already pointed out. We designed a mixed methods approach using qualitative and quantitative data collection, which allowed us to generate the most accurate picture of the organization. We also designed a longitudinal study that began in 2012 and will conclude in 2014. We have annual data collection points, which enable us to compare changes in CSO capacity and their level of development. And as I mentioned just previously, to address our third and fourth research aims, we did this piece of work in concurrent with the nationwide household survey of child outcomes in the geographic areas that the organizations are providing services. In 2012, we enrolled 44 organizations. In round two, we were able to reach 37 of those organizations. We weren't able to reach them all because some of the organizations were not able to secure funding within the year or their government licensing in order to continue operations in Ethiopia. So a brief description on the organizations we're working with. They're working in five regions across the country. And the characteristics of the organizations in our study varied widely, providing confirmation that our sample is a representative cross-section of the organizations serving vulnerable children in Ethiopia. On average, the organizations had been operating in some capacity for about 14 years, but our sample included those that had just founded to those well-established organizations, faith-based organizations, that have been serving their community for over 85 years. We sampled CSOs working out of one room, employing only four staff, and heavily reliant on in-kind donations. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we had CSOs that were working out of five-story office buildings, 300 staff, 200 project offices all over the country, and million-dollar budgets. So this brings us to our first round of results. This graph presents the average domain scores of the 44 organizations in 2012. You remember Amia spoke about the 11 domains that the MODE tool measures across, or organizational structures. The lowest scoring domains in 2012 are at the top, which in our sample were financial security and fundraising, management of information, operational planning, and linkages and communication. As we move down, you see the average domain scores increase, and in our sample, the strongest domains were logistics management, financial management, and the organization's mission and values. So this is our baseline, which we then can compare to the average domain scores in the second round of assessments conducted 1 year later. Immediately, we can see an improvement in 10 of the 11 domains, and this improvement was statistically significant in 8. The greatest increases were seen in strategic planning and in operational planning. Also, we note that the two lowest scoring domains at the top, financial security and fundraising, and information management, both increased. However, they still remain the weakest domains. This reflects the current CSO environment in Ethiopia, where local resource mobilization is extremely difficult under Ethiopia's CSO regulations, and there's an overall challenge for organizations to manage their beneficiary information effectively. One thing to note is that our study did not provide any capacity building assistance to the organizations to bring about these changes. The only intervention our study engaged in was to provide a detailed report to their organization's management team, which I'll share a little bit more about in a bit. We also did do follow-up phone calls or in-person meetings. And then in the spring, last spring in 2013, we held a half-day workshop to present our round one findings. So this graphic presents the average across our entire sample. But our sample was extremely diverse, as I mentioned, and therefore we wanted to group these organizations. So we decided to group our sample by the highest and lowest scoring organizations. Here you see the frequency of total organizational development scores in 2013, and we split this sample in half. Into the lowest 18 scoring organizations, all scoring below 62%, and then the highest 19 scoring organizations, all scoring above 62%. By grouping the CSOs in this way, we're able then to evaluate if there's a difference in the pattern of changes in domain scores occurring between the high and the low scoring organizations as compared to the entire sample, which is in fact what we saw. This graphic presents for both the high and the low scoring groups the percentage change in domain score between round one and round two. The highest scoring are represented by the blue bars and the lowest scoring by the red bars. At first glance, this graph demonstrates that change was occurring and captured in both the high and low scoring organizations. However, let's first focus on the low scoring group. We see that in some domains, they were able to drastically increase their score. In operational planning, at the top, their average score increased from 39% to 56%, or a 44% change. This looks to be quite large, but if you think about it, it makes sense because as the low scoring group, they have more room for improvement on the spectrum from 0 to 100. However, in some domains, this wasn't the case. If we shift our focus to the blue bars, the high scoring organizations, we see that in some domains, the most obvious shown in financial security and fundraising, high scores changed significantly and the low scores virtually did not change at all. This leads us to think that there might be a certain minimum capacity an organization must possess in order to bring about change internally without any external assistance. Lastly, I'd like to point out the last domain on this graph, the linkages and communication. You may recall in the previous slide that the domain score on average did not change for linkages and communication. However, when we split apart our sample, we see an entirely different picture. There's in fact quite a bit of change occurring just in opposite directions. I want to make this point because in this setting, examining capacity and on the average sample level may not be appropriate, and in order to design capacity building interventions, measure changes, and evaluate effectiveness of interventions, it may be best to look at subgroups or the individual organizations. So that's a brief overview of some of our results from the first two rounds of the MODE assessment, which at this point are only descriptive. After our third round of assessments in 2014, we'll be able to establish a trend in the changes in capacity and development. We'll also be able to begin linking the MODE scores to their performance outputs and mapping organizational development to the child outcomes. Our results, however, are already being used by CSOs and INGOs and are valuable for all three players, the donors, the CSOs, and INGOs. So first, for the CSOs we're assessing, again, all we're doing is providing them an in-depth report after the MODE assessment. And this report gives an overall analysis on their domain and subdomains and identifies the highest priority areas for organizations to address and specific recommendations the organization can take. This is just a snapshot of one of the pages on a report which provides a summary table and graph of their scores. And I picked out an example report where the organization has shown clear improvement from rounds one to round two. With this report and knowledge in hand, organizations are able to set their own agendas for capacity building. The organization's management is able to present the results from this external evaluation to their partners and funders in order to request capacity building assistance that's specific to their organization's needs. Organizations are also able to reflect on the actions they've taken over the past year to determine what's been effective and what to do in the next year. So for INGOs, who are often the main actor or provider of technical assistance, they can also use results from the MODE assessment. For example, an INGO maybe working with 10 implementing partners can conduct a MODE assessment and plot the individual organization data like this, better to understand current strengths and weaknesses of their partners. In one scenario, shown here, plotting strategic planning domain scores from 10 partners, we see that distribution of scores. The mean score in this domain is 66%, and majority of the organizations score at or above the mean. There are a couple of high scores, 86% and 80%, and then one extreme outlier, only scoring 12%. In this situation, a targeted technical assistance approach for this one organization may be the most appropriate in order to effectively use capacity building resources. In a different scenario, the financial security and fundraising domain, the mean domain is low and is low at 80% or 30%, and all organizations scored 50% or lower. One might provide general technical assistance to all partners. Also, the NGO might seek input from these two high-scoring CSOs, or the positive deviants in this case, on their best practices. After determining the best capacity building approach and providing assistance to the implementing partners, INGOs can then reassess organizations and evaluate if they've been effective and inform future capacity building. And then lastly, the donors. Once we're able to complete the study, we'll be able to begin to make some conclusions in regards to levels or the patterns of development quantified using the MODE tool and how it correlates to performance and ultimately improved outcomes. We envision the tool enabling donors to rapidly assess a wide variety of CSOs that they're interested in partnering with. The outcome of the MODE assessment can then identify those organizations which have the highest chance of producing social return on their investment. Donors will be enabled to more knowledgeably decide who to fund and how much. So after two of the three rounds of data, there are a few conclusions that we can begin to take away. First is that objective organizational development assessments with minimal user bias are possible, and we've shown this with our two first rounds of data. Second, the MODE tool is able to capture change in organizational development, and these changes are significant and not due to chance. Third, with little active involvement or external assistance, organizations are able to bring about change in their organization's development. But what we don't know yet is at what point is internal change too difficult, or at what point will an organization's development plateau and require external assistance in order to further strengthen the organization? You may recall earlier in financial management and budgeting, this is a clear strength for our sample or for our organizations. However, the domain did not demonstrate any significant change between years one and two. It may be that in order for this organization to strengthen in financial management, they either need external funding and technical assistance or simply more time to change. As we're still in the middle of our study, there are many next steps in order to address all of our research objectives. Firstly, we're working to move from a paper-based to an electronic-based system, which will allow evaluators to more rapidly provide assessment results to the CSOs we're working with. Second, we need to finish our third round of data collection. And at that point, we'll then review organizational performance data from 2012-2013 in order to validate our instrument. While this is the largest longitudinal organizational development study of its kind that we know of, we still believe a pilot study needs to be expanded to scale within Ethiopia and to other countries while still within a controlled research environment. This expansion will allow us to answer our last objective, to shift from validating organizational development scores to performance to predicting performance by measuring organizational development. Really quick, I just want to acknowledge for our funders for our work in Ethiopia's USAID Project Search and the in-country partners, Chelsea, CHS, and SCT, and then in Ethiopia for Geneva Global and the Logatum Foundation, all of our in-country partners, and lastly, for Boston University students, faculty, and staff, and all that have contributed to this work. Thank you very much.